It is no secret to those who know me well that I'm very much in love with Holy Week. It is for this week that I became a priest. Indelibly etched in my memories are my time spending hours upon hours in preparation for Holy Week, time in the rectory, time in the sanctuary, time in the sacristy. I was always amazed by those who chose to complain about the length of times of the services themselves, or those who could not make the time to be present for Good Friday, Holy Thursday, the Easter Vigil. I find it even more disconcerting as I've grown older now, and especially as I have been rector here, that there still remains a confusion about the mystery of the Lord's cross and the need to again and again and again hear the proclamation of our Lord's passion. Even now, people will ask me, why do you pray the passion all four times? Isn't one sufficient? But in truth, one is not sufficient. Four is not sufficient. A lifetime can be dedicated to contemplating the mystery of the Lord's cross, and it is a wellspring that will never run dry. And it is precisely this, brothers and sisters, that we must contemplate. And it is difficult to do so. Even more reason for us to do it as frequently as possible. Because we have arrived at that moment now where good confronts evil and conquers it through death. We come to that moment now where God willingly mounts the throne of his cross and does so for the salvation of all mankind. But to be very clear and very pointed about it, he does this for each of you. He took up the weight of the cross for the salvation of all sins, past, present, future. He knew of your sins and he embraced them willingly. He suffered and died that you might have life, and the life that you have would be abundant. You must spend time contemplating this, sitting before the Lord and meditating upon the cross, even now as it is shrouded and hidden from us. We know that our Lord is still there. More importantly, as we begin now entering into this holiest of weeks, these days where the church forces us to peer upon the sufferings of our Lord, we must take ownership. I often feel at times a little bit frustrated by the fact that I am oftentimes saying again and again and again the necessity to proclaim and contemplate the mystery of the cross. How has it come to pass that the church in which we live somehow sees the cross as something merely to be gotten through, something to be endured, something to be gotten past? And once we've accomplished that, then we can get on to the real business of being Catholic men and women. But the real business of our Catholic faith is the mystery of the cross. The work that God accomplishes by raising his son to new life is his work, a gift he bestows upon us. What we know, what we understand, what we have received is that when the Lord suffers and dies upon the cross, it is complete and it is finished. The work of reconciliation, the work of restoration, the work of wholeness is complete upon the cross. And so what is required of you is to sit and to contemplate, to think about how unworthy you are of the gift that is being given to you. And even more egregiously, how often you squander the graces that God bestows upon you. Again and again, you approach the throne of mercy. And again, you throw the grace to the ground and you say, Lord, I will not do. I will not obey. I will not conform myself. You may not consciously articulate it with those precise words, but our attitudes, our dispositions, the manner in which we live our Catholic lives, all of that bespeaks, if we are not doing it well and rightly, an unwillingness to embrace grace. More concretely, an unwillingness to embrace the cross. There is no new life unless you are willing to die with the Lord. If you are unwilling to embrace the cross, then you empty the resurrection of its content, of its power, and its meaning. And so not only do you contemplate what it is that is bestowed upon you, you then rededicate yourself to carrying your cross as well. What sufferings are you enduring at this precise moment in body, mind, or spirit? What struggles beset you that might lead you to be tempted to turn away from God instead of turning toward him? where things may be weighing heavily on your soul, and you seek among men for the answers that only God can give. These are the crosses that the Lord is asking you to bear with him. And he makes very clear that if you suffer and die with him, you will share in the new life that he bestows upon you. What more convincing do you need than to follow after the Lord in the exact same manner in which he went? I'm not sure what more God can do for you, what more God can give you. Not only has he brought you into existence, he then has recapitulated and rebirthed that existence on the cross. And now he continues to give you the gift of himself in the most holy Eucharist. God himself chooses to dwell in you. An unworthy tabernacle for so great a gift, and yet that is precisely where he wants to be. How can we in some churlishness go before the Lord and ask for more from him when there is nothing more that he can give because he has given everything to us? And so this must translate into concrete ways of living and being. It must also translate into you making the time and the effort to clear your schedule of all of the mundane things of the world this week and focus your attention upon God. I guarantee you, and you know this from your own lived experience, the more we give to God, the more is given to us. The more we go to God and sacrifice for God, the more we receive abundant grace poured out upon grace. There is nothing lost by devoting ourselves to the Lord, only gain again and again, life again and again, wholeness again and again. But if you persist in denying the Lord, if you persist in abandoning the Lord, if you persist in not even being able to be with him but 1 hour, then again and again you will find yourself beset with temptation, with struggle, with strife and sorrow. And the crosses that you are asked to bear will be overwhelming, and you will be crushed under the burden of them. But if you want to share in the triumph of the cross, then you must rededicate yourself to carrying them well. These are not easy things to contemplate, but they were never meant to be easy things to contemplate. How does one conceptualize that not only has God submitted himself to the indignity of the human condition, but then allows himself to suffer and die at the hands of his own creation in order that we might have abundant life? These are simply things beyond our imagining, but they are real and true and given to us nonetheless. And so, brothers and sisters, it has begun. You must pray earnestly, fervently, assiduously. You must make time and effort, both in the days leading up to, but especially in the sacred triduum, to be here, to be in his presence, to make the sacrifices, attending to be present at the sacrifice. There is no other way to do this, but in truth, there is no better way to do this than to give ourselves completely in to the hands of the Lord, and knowing that to die with Christ, we share in his new life. And so we say, we adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross, you have redeemed the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.